This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:14 now on another beautiful spring day. Really, highs of 76 today, warming to 80 tomorrow, and dry, 80 on Friday, dry. But then Saturday, man, you got a lot of St. Patrick's stuff coming up in the afternoon, and they're talking about the rain now maybe being in the afternoon, so we'll have to see how that all plays out. They say it's coming into sharper focus, looking more like the afternoon, but, you know, stuff changes, so we'll see, and maybe there's some alternative plans. We'll just wait till we get to the weekend itself. Andy Smith joins us now, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, talk about President Trump and the latest with him. How you doing, Andy?
Doing good.
I gotta
glad you have some more. Glad you have some warm weather down there. We still have snow.
Oh no, really?
Come back. Bring your skis.
Well, I can't do that, but I'll bring my snowshoes. Let's talk about President Trump. Somebody texted in about you always talking about President Trump, and I said, well, you know, President Biden, there wasn't a whole lot of activity there, so really, there's not a lot to say. I'm not quite sure if he was, you know, okay. Well, president's awake. There you go. That's what we got to talk about. But with President Trump, stuff changes by the hour. There's constantly something to talk about with this president, right?
There's constantly something to talk about, and I think it's probably the one part of his strategy that's designed, and that is to keep himself centered in the news. I try to think about what's going on next. I have no idea. So I think that what we can talk about is chaos, both politically and foreign policy, but we don't know what's going to happen next. It seems like he can change his mind on a dime.
And that to me is the big question. Is it chaos by design, or is it just chaos, right?
That is a question. And if this is all part of a grand plan, and again, I say both domestically and in terms of our allies, I can't see where that plan is headed yet. It's certainly keeping the news business happy.
And politically, what's interesting is that those that are big fans of President Trump, they believe that there is this big plan. They're saying, just wait and see. You'll see. You'll see. Everything's fine. I saw the Commerce Secretary, I think it was on TV yesterday, saying that the tariff thing, there's a long game here that he's playing. And I'm paraphrasing the words here. News person was saying, well, no, it's chaos. And then the Commerce Secretary said, no, only foolish people would say it's chaos. When it comes to, as far as we know, the president and his advisors and who's steering the ship, what do we know about that, Andy?
Well, I think it depends on the day. We've got Elon Musk doing a lot of things domestically, which I have some difficulties with on a constitutional level and a contract level. You've got foreign policy changing. First, we're going to abandon Ukraine. Now Ukraine's back on our side. And I know that he's using leverage against these people bluntly, U.S. force and with tariffs, U.S. economic might to get his way. And the problem with all of this is, yes, you may get some short-term gains, short-term advantages, but the long-term is really problematic. So I don't know which one of his people he's listening to most, the domestic policy issues, the foreign policy issues, government reorganization issues, but they've succeeded in creating uncertainty. And I think we're seeing that uncertainty reflected in the stock market. We're seeing his job approval ratings starting to drop a little bit because I think of the stock market, because it's always about the economy. Mm-hmm. And the economy is looking nervous right now.
So for those that favor President Trump, they're saying, look, there's going to be some pain, but the payoff is going to come. For those that don't favor President Trump, they're saying that it only took him a couple of weeks to wreck a good economy. When it comes to the political responsibility for this, how I know voters usually pay with their pockets. What kind of time frame when it comes to stock market, 401ks, economy, inflation, et cetera? How much time does the president have to show the end result of his, if he's playing the long game here or there is an economic strategy, how long does he have to get people to understand, okay, see, this is what I was trying to do all the time? Or do the people that really favor him, that it doesn't matter, they'll just go with him all the way?
Well, Trump is in an interesting position because he's a second-term president right now. Which means that he doesn't really have to worry about getting reelected. So it's a different situation than we had, say, with Ronald Reagan coming in and doing a lot of work with the economy back in 1981, 82. Republicans got hammered in the 82 midterm elections, and I think that's the big fear that you're seeing right now is the uncertainty among Republicans about what's going to happen to them in the 2026 midterms. I think that that means that Trump's support, which is not very big in the House and the Senate, is going to be very nervous by next fall, because by next fall you're starting to see the contours of the 2026 election shaping up, and you better have some economic success coming in by next fall for the Republicans to be able to hold on to the House and the Senate. It's never good anyway for the president's party in midterm elections, and this, you know, if the economy's not good, then it's definitely not going to be good for Republicans.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I want to talk to you more, Andy, if you can, talk a little more about the constitutional concerns you have with Elon Musk, because you are a political scientist, and that is what you do, study for your living. That's your life's work, as well as dealing with the snow in New Hampshire, which runs until, what, July 15th? July 4th, I think, is the end of the snowfall, right?
That's our big ice out day on the lake.
Yeah, you plow it off, and then come July 8th, it starts snowing again. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, talking about constitutional concerns, Elon Musk. When we come back, 620 time now, traffic, WWL. All right, 6:25 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Andy, you got a fan base, man. People text in and say, "When's Andy coming on? When's Andy coming on?" And I have to explain
to
them.
They have dart boards.
Well, no. I have to explain to them. We don't have him chained up in the garage. It's not as though we could, you know, we just pull him out and tell him it answers the questions or it gets the hose. We can't do that. You have a schedule of your own. Somebody texted in and said, "Hey, Andy, go Cats. Elon is an employee authorized by Trump as his agent with full authority to do whatever Trump directs. Look back at history," this texter tells Andy Smith, of all people, founding fathers in George Washington. Okay, he threw down a gauntlet. There you go, Andy.
Well, the way I look at it is that the president takes an oath of office to faithfully execute the laws and execute his office as president and defend and protect the Constitution. The Constitution says that it's Congress who makes the laws. Congress passes those laws that create the agencies. It's up to Congress then to change those laws. It's not up to the president to do that. So, and that includes things like, you know, closing down USAID. That was created by Congress. Can the president close it down? No, Congress can't by law. The problem that you run into when you have a president executing these things that have been legally passed and budgets that have been legally passed and deciding what gets paid and doesn't get paid is it means that the laws aren't there. And I go back and think about how Republicans were really very upset with the Biden administration for passing, not enforcing illegal laws against illegal immigration, or deciding that he's going to forgive student loans. Those were unconstitutional actions on the part of the Biden administration, I think, which rightly Republicans called him out on and took to the courts. Well, now Democrats are doing the same thing to the Trump administration, and I think they have the same legal ground and the same constitutional grounds for attacking the president and Elon Musk on some of the action that he's taken in trying to reform government. You got to do it through Congress. You can't just do it by, you know, waving a wand, because guess what's going to happen when the next president comes in? They're going to do the same thing, and that's going to further weaken the constitutional structure of the U.S.
And I think that's a very important point that you just made, and I try to say it, man, in the decades I've been here, I've been saying it, that you got to be careful when it comes to constitution, when it comes to structure of government, because although this is what you want now, next time, it might not be your person or your philosophy that's in there, and you're not going to like being on the wrong side of it. That's why it's important to adhere to the laws of the land. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the politics is all about power, and our government is structured in a way to try to minimize powers to be concentrated in the hands of any one branch of government or one person. And that, I think, is the thing that's made the United States a successful country for us 250 years. The concentration of power is the biggest problem. That's why we fought the Revolutionary War to get rid of the concentration of power. And I think that was the genius of Madison in writing the Constitution, is to split it up between branches of government, and also to split it up between what the federal government does and the states do. We've been on a journey over the last 75 to 100 years of weakening the separation of powers.
When it comes to, you know, you're a football fan, I presume, Andy, and it always drives me crazy when a team is running the ball and staying ahead of the chains and picking up 8 yards a carry and they stop. It's like, well, why are you doing it? Keep running until they stop you. I get the idea that President Trump, he's going to keep doing this till somebody stops him. He senses an absence of regulation, whatever you want to call it. He senses a vacuum, and he's going to take advantage of this as long as he possibly can.
I agree. There's nobody standing up to him yet. It'll have to be the courts that do it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Dane Cialino about the death penalty in Louisiana. 6:30 time for WWL First News.